McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour. Here it's Jonna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci. It is myself. I am a Frankenberry. And we've got ourselves another show today. And we're actually going to be talking to a guest who's been on the show a couple of times and kind of revisiting one of her big concepts that I think you all might be able to get something out of.
Yes, Leslie M. That's not like M from James Bond, but E-H-M, she spells it. She is the author of Wagger, Unleash Everything You Are and Become Everything You Want. She's a coach. She's a speaker. She really, really genuinely wants to help people either through one-on-one, through her books, through works with a lot of corporations, unleash their potential. I love this chick. She brings so much wisdom and always so much energy that I'm really excited to talk with her again.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. So we'll get ourselves a little bit of swagger. I certainly could use some of that because I don't think, actually, to tell you the truth, in all my years, I've ever had any swagger. So maybe I might learn something today. But Jonna, did you foreshadow that you've got something that actually annoyed you this week?
I know it's as rare as a total solar eclipse that I get annoyed. Let me start out with a little PSA, and this is a real PSA. Normally my PSAs are sort of tongue-in-cheek PSAs, but this one is actually genuine because I thought to myself, self, I know that I can't be the only person experiencing this, and I know that because people have contacted me and said, are you going through this? Because I'm going through this. And I said, yeah. And so here's the serious part of what I want to talk about before I start whining. And
wait, you haven't started that already?
No, it hasn't begun. I know. Oh, okay. It's hard to tell. Right. I know. But here's the thing. And I think it's fair to say that most people are aware at this point that we're going through sort of some economic difficulty in a lot of areas of life. And that has kind of manifested with, if you're friends with anybody who owns a business, for example, they might be lamenting that receivables are slow. And if you're just talking to, you know, the person in the next cubicle, you might be complaining that the cost of goods has gone up, that the eggs are $8 or whatever, they're, you know, more than they usually are, and the price of gas, and it's, and everything just seems to be a little bit more expensive. And that's a cycle, and that can happen. And, you know, there are forces beyond our control that are making those things happen. And for that reason, I want to remind everybody that typically you cannot fix that which you do not break. So please just try to hang on and hope that things will get better, and they will get better. You know, the economy kind of goes in cycles, and there are things that will make this better, but you just have to hang on and do what you can to make your life as comfortable as it is. And don't cry about it every day. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it depress you, and don't let it change who you are and the way you relate to the people in your life. I think if you're suffering from any of this, you're gonna be like, yeah, thank you, because I just kind of needed that reminder. And what goes along with it when people are kind of struggling financially, I've noticed, and not just right now, I have noticed this over decades, that people will try to find ways to put more money in their pocket in maybe unconventional ways. Like, for example, you know, you might be getting pinged and dinged right now with people whose email lists you didn't even know you were on, inviting you to, you know, buy this or participate in that. I'm getting a lot of that. Are you guys getting any of that?
Like, oh, awful.
Awful, right? And it's happening like out of the blue. Like all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we wrote you a newsletter 6 years ago, and we'd like you to sign up for our Humpty Dump program. Like, who are you? But that goes along with the program. So one such area, and I can, let me just back up for a minute. I will also say this, like not so much recently, but years ago, I remember when I recently opened my office and, you know, that was around 2008, which was another time where the economy was not great, right? The housing bubble, et cetera. I remember people at Christmas time, clients at Christmas time, knowing that they had some money left over in their retainer because we were working on their cases, would be like, I want all my money from my retainer. I got to buy Christmas presents. And then I'd have to be like, but in order to do that, we'd have to stop working on your case, and we can't stop working on your case. I'm not a bank. I'm a lawyer. And so it was, you know, I had to learn how to contend with market forces at that time. So fast forward this week. This isn't funny, but this week.
But I shall laugh anyway.
For the uninitiated, I rent a parking spot in a parking garage for the occasions that I need to be traveling and not driving around the block endlessly in New York City. And I have that on automatic payment. And I like to have a lot of things on automatic payment, you guys, because I just don't have the time. You know, set it and forget it is what automatic payments are to me. And I like that. So I get a call, oddly, from the parking garage. They never call me. There's no reason for them to call me. There's no reason. So I now think, worst case scenario, okay, the roof of the parking garage has collapsed and they're calling to tell me something terrible. So I call them back. And lo and behold, the parking garage manager, who English is not his first language, is trying to explain to me that I owe back rent for 3 months.
What?
Yeah. So he's trying to explain that I owe back rent for 3 months and they need to get a credit card from me. So I'm trying to explain to him, I don't know how that could be because I'm on automatic payment and the credit card that is used is a current credit card. There's no problem with the limit. There's no problem with the expiration. I don't understand why all of a sudden I would owe 3 months. And so while I'm on the phone with him, I give him the credit card number that I use for the automatic payments. He takes it down. I tell him, go ahead and take whatever payment you're claiming you don't have, and I'll go investigate this. He says, okay, we hang up. Okay, so now I go online because there is sort of an online thing to track your payments with this parking garage. And I see that starting January, which was odd. So starting January, they started charging an old card. Like they went from, it was perfectly fine using my usual card. They went and they, in January, I don't know if they changed systems, they started to charge an old card that didn't exist anymore. And so in addition to not taking their payment, they were tacking on a $25 service charge for the last 3 months. So I figured, all right, well, at least I've got that resolved. And I contact, because I can't speak to the manager because we're having problems communicating, I email the sort of central office to this parking garage and I say, hey, what's going on? Why did you all of a sudden, you had a valid method of payment, you chose to not use that valid method of payment, which was my default payment. You chose to somehow find an old credit card, dusted it off, couldn't get payment, and then started tacking on monthly late fees. Can you please investigate this? Because I don't know why it happened, and I certainly don't want it to happen again. And oh, by the way, maybe you should think about reversing the $100 worth of late charges since you always had a valid method of payment. Are you with me? Like, I'm explaining that.
I'm with you.
Okay.
So the person on the other end of that email.
It's gripping, but I'm with you.
I know. The person on the other. No, it doesn't get any more exciting. The person on the other end of the email gets back to me, and she clearly has an email attitude. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, did she type in capital letters?
She didn't type in capital letters. But do you guys agree that when you're communicating via email or via text and you're not voice to voice, can you discern when somebody has an attitude, or is that just me?
No, sometimes, sure.
I mean, I guess it's possible. Yeah, though I would imagine that you are more finely attuned to that sort of thing, being the John of Spillboard.
I don't know. It just made my fine hairs It just made my fine hair stand up. Now, I don't dare call this person because I'm afraid that I'm not getting anywhere when I try to communicate verbally. So she gives me an attitude and basically accuses me of being some sort of deadbeat, missing the whole point that I don't know why you decided to go into your archives and pull up a non-existent credit card and then charge me late fees. So we had to go, I don't know, I must have had to email her, this is not an exaggeration, 6 times.
Whoa, it's pretty simple.
Six times to actually solve the problem. And while I'm emailing her 6 times, and remember, within 24 hours prior to that, I had given the parking garage the correct credit card number, which they always had, told them to take payment. Guess what they went and did?
Uh-oh.
They charged me another late fee. Like, and I almost lost my crap. I just, are you kidding me right now? Like, in real time, I am giving you all this information. And a day later, you're like, bink, another $25 late fee. Like, and that is the kind of thing that I think, and I know that this story is not overly exciting, but I'm offering it because if it's happening to me, it's happening to other people. And we're all kind of just sitting around sort of biting the heel of our palm, trying to like, how much time do you spend? That's one of the things that irritates me is how much time is one supposed to devote to solving a $25 problem, right? Like, do I, 10 more emails, 2 more phone calls, or at what point do you go, ugh, I'm just going to have to suck it up, which still is irritating, but I think a lot of people are doing that. And some businesses might rely on you doing that to nickel and dime and scrape whatever they can scrape right now because of the original problem that I raised today, which is everybody's kind of hurting financially a little bit. Am I wrong? Oof. Right.
I don't know. I think they're just disorganized. I'm not sure it's a, well, you know what? Who knows?
I know.
Maybe it was part of the whole plan. And like, if, how many people park in that garage? And if they've done that to everybody, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And all of their notices were going into my spam. And on their notices, they have my license plate number, but not my car. It's the wrong car. And that was another thing. I'm like, are you sure you didn't mess something else up? And her response to me was, I'm like, you have the wrong make and model of my car. And her response was, well, go into the online portal and fix it. Like, but I didn't screw it up.
So did you get your late fees back?
No late fees. For all I know, as we sit here, they're probably tacking on another one because I don't even know if the problem's been resolved. I haven't had time to check for the third time whether they've taken the payment that they're claiming they couldn't take.
Look, I don't know if anybody is actually thinking ahead to themselves, like, saying that this is part of their plan. Hey, you know what? If we charge an old card that doesn't exist anymore, because they're not going to know if it exists anymore or not, we can get an extra $75 out of this client. I don't know if they're that devious that they're going to go in there for $75 like that. I think this was just a mistake, and they really might just not know how to fix it. And instead, they're getting defensive, which in this world that we live in right now, people do get defensive these days. So
what are you trying to say, Frankenberry?
I don't know, Carol.
Well, this whole story is one reason I there's very few things I do as automatic payment. If I get a better interest rate, I'll do it.
Oh, you don't do auto pay?
No, I am old school. I want a paper bill. I have a whole system. I have lists of when all my bills are due in case something gets hung up.
Wait.
Nope.
Are you saying that you actually write checks?
No. Rarely. No.
Jonna,
do you actually pick up the phone?
And Jonna, I'm kind of half in Carol's boat here. I actually do balance my checkbook. I mean, I actually go through and write down all my charges. Now, I do a few automatic payments, but there are some payments that I don't want to be automatic because they may change on a monthly basis. That's, you know, mostly my credit cards, because I've had to turn to them recently. Not that I wanted to, but I've had to. So I'm going to be giving them a little bit more. But I only have a couple of things on auto pay, my car payment and my car insurance. That's pretty much it.
I pay most things online, but I do it when I want to do it.
Right.
Who are you people?
And you know, Jonna, as Carol just mentioned, I was actually thinking just to throw your whole day off after this conversation to actually try to call you later.
Oh, no. Don't do it. No. She's had enough for one day.
I know. Seriously.
Nope. Not today. Nope. Not unless you want to listen to my... Nope. Oh, my God. That's so funny. See, I just don't... That's just one thing I don't have time to do. Plus, you know what? It's not just that. I just don't like looking at bills. Like, it gives me... it makes me pukey. I don't like looking at it. So if I put them on auto pay, I don't got to look at them. Wow, but a paper bill. You get a paper bill.
I mean, no, look, I mean, I don't receive the paper bills, but I know exactly what time of the month that I am going to be taking a look at certain accounts. I know that the 15th is rolled around and it's time for me to go look at my credit cards, and it's time for me to go look at a couple of things that I pay monthly payments to and get them done by hand. And that's what I do by hand online.
Now, you might want to just take a peek at your recurring payments every once in a while.
Yeah, because obviously not doing so there, Spielborg, has turned into you being charged almost $100.
I know. Listen, nobody wants to rip up $100. I don't care whether Jeff Bezos or Jonas Spielborg. I don't want to rip up $100. I don't want to rip up $1. I am the type of person, here's a little something you don't know about your good friend here. If I rip a corner off a dollar bill, so much so that I think it might not be usable, like sometimes if they get stuck in the zipper of your wallet, I will tape that puppy together and I will make sure that I pass it along somehow and like some sort of in the car wash, because I want it out of my head. I am not wasting that dollar. It's going. It is going. I will glue that stuff.
Gorilla glue.
That stuff. I will. So, I mean, come on. Nobody likes to waste money. I will spend it. I do not like to waste it. Okay. Same with food.
Oh, I'm that way with food for sure.
Oh, I'm with you there. You know, for the money that I make, if I'm spending some dollars on food, like a hot food bar somewhere, I'm making sure I'm eating all of it. That stuff's expensive these days.
Yeah, there ain't nothing worse than like feeling healthy. One day you're sitting around, you're feeling healthy. You go to Instacart. You're like, oh, I'm feeling so healthy. I'm going to get strawberries and blueberries and asparagus and broccoli. Oh, I'm so healthy. And then a week later, you're like, hope the birds like these moldy blueberries and this broccoli.
Exactly.
I hate that.
That's why I only buy two bananas at a time at the grocery store, because I know if I buy more, I'm going to throw the extra ones out.
I think that, and that's smart. That is smart. So, yeah, we're just rather annoying. And then arguing with somebody when if you're arguing in Swahili and the other person's native language is Mandarin, you're going to have a problem, right? And that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I was having that problem.
You were not walking in your swagger.
I was not swaggering.
Man, I've been waiting. There's been nothing. There's been nothing coming my way.
You have had nobody toss you that softball at all this morning. So finally, you just said to yourself, I'm going to put that ball on a tee and I'm going to hit it myself.
Yeah, which I just did. Coming up after the break, we are talking to Leslie M. She is the author of Swagger, Unleash Everything You Are and Become Everything You Want. You'll want to stick around for this girl. She's smart. She's fun. She's got lots of great energy and always send good advice.
Yes, she is definitely a unique one, and fun is a good word to apply to Leslie M. That is who is on the way here with Jonna Spielborg and Carol Pesci. I am a Frankenberry, and we will be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with John Spilbore and Carol Pesci and me. And we're going to get to our guest right now, and somebody who has joined the show before, and it's fantastic to have her back. And I'm going to tell you right now, just be prepared, because her energy is going to make you want to take a nap.
Or invigorate you.
See, or invigorate you. Yeah. But, yes. You know, it depends.
When somebody's smart and fun gets on the show, we got our hooks in them. And they're like, no, one time's not enough, sister. Nope, you're coming back. And now I think we're up for about round three. So on the line with us, we have one of our favorite people, Leslie M., not like M from Bond, but E-H-M is how she spells it. She's a former TV host and advertising creative director turned training guru, swagger coach, and speaker. She's a Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and Amazon number one bestselling author of one of my favorite books, Swagger, Unleash Everything You Are and Become Everything You Want. She has traveled the globe in her award-winning training company, Combustion. She's worked with executives and teams from Fortune 500 companies like Google, Disney, PepsiCo, TD Bank, Uber, HBO, Live Nation, and more. She's been featured on ABC, CBS, City TV, CTV, Fox, NBC, and guested on countless podcasts and radio stations, including Happy Hour, around the world. She's been called better than therapy, a rock star, butt kicking, a force of nature, and even a witch. Leslie M., welcome back to Happy Hour.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? It is so nice to be back with you all.
And Carol, you know, that introduction, I'm listening to it, and I'm saying to myself, holy cow, how did we convince her to be on our show like three times?
Well, because these ladies are epic. These ladies embody what swagger means. So why would I not want to be in their company at any point for any length of time?
Go on.
You know, I'm telling you, you are my people.
Oh, we love having you on. So Leslie, for those of our listeners who have not yet had the pleasure of hearing you and talk about swagger and get infected by your energy and wisdom, let's start there. Your book, Swagger, Unleash Everything You Are and Become Everything You Want, is the basis of, I mentioned all the TV appearances, the training that you do. So help us, at least in your world, how do we define swagger? What is that? Because I see like this confident person's got it all together walking through a room, and that's really the opposite of what it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, when we hear the word swagger, our minds immediately go to this cocky, peacocky, show-off, strutting thing that most people go, ew, yuck. You know, there are some people who want that, and like, hey, more power to you. But most of us go, ick, I don't want that. Like, that's kind of gross, and it's arrogant, and that is not what I'm talking about. So relax, everybody. I'm not suggesting that you be an arrogant so-and-so. The way that I redefine swagger is as the ability to manifest who you really are at your deep down core, and then the ability to hold on to it in the face of all of that psychological crapola that's going to try and come for it on a daily basis. You know what I'm talking about? The haters, the people who want to take you down, the people who cause you to feel deeply insecure. When you have swagger, you show up with one face, one truth, one heart, and it is absolutely unshakable in every situation. You are rock solid. That is swagger.
And something, you know, one of the main messages of your book and your teachings is we think, and I don't think your message could be any more beneficial or timely than today with this compare and despair that we deal with social media, but that having swagger, really feeling comfortable in our own skin, is not about creating this persona. We think people are drawn to perfection. And the fact of the matter is we connect at a much deeper level when people are real and authentic.
Absolutely, 100%. This was why I wrote the book. You know, I'd spent so many years traveling the globe and working with these top tier companies and these top tier humans within these top tier companies. And you would think that these would be the very people who would be so profoundly confident because of their accomplishment. And yet what I discovered was that consistently, each and every one of these people really believed that they could not show the world who they truly were and still continue to experience success. They convinced themselves that they were successful as a result of false persona. And it was killing them, because when you put on a false front, when you do achieve things, you can't even own the accomplishment. You're like, yeah, well, the people really knew what I was like, or that I felt like this or whatever. Oh, that would be over for me. And what we don't realize is that when we are authentic, and we allow ourselves to be seen and to be vulnerable and to be human, it gives other humans in our lives the opportunity to look at us and go, oh my God, me too. Just like me. You're just like me. We're the same. We're human. And if you think about that in any form of society, whether it's in business and you're a leader and you want people to follow you and to allow you to help them to grow, if they see you and they trust you, are they going to follow you? Hell yeah, they are. But if they don't, if all they see is this shiny, glossy exterior, they're just going to be worried that you're judging them, right? But if you're real and raw, they go, oh, that person is imperfect just like I am. They've been able to achieve success. I can speak my truth to them, and I'm going to trust that I can follow where they lead me. And it's the same in every other form of life. Think of it in terms of a teacher. If a teacher shows you that they're real and human and authentic and they have feelings and all the rest of it, are you more likely to connect with them? Of course you are. And this, by the way, has been scientifically proven. The more messy we are, the more connection that we can create. We got to own not just the shiny stuff, but the messy stuff. That's where the juicy action is.
I love that so much. And I actually think you just described Jonna, because she's very shiny and pretty. But yet, as soon as something stupid happens to her, like her wrap dress flies open in the wind on Fifth Avenue, or she sashays up to a judge with static cling in her dress up her butt, the first thing she does, Leslie, is this is going to be great for radio. And then she comes on the radio and shares it with the world. Jonna, you got swagger,
yes,
sister.
Maybe
she,
I do. She
has bags of swagger. Bags of swagger. But that's the thing, you know, that's the thing is that what you just described has happened to everybody. It's happened to everybody. And you can either feel mortified and you can want to hide or die, or you can laugh your ass off. And the people around you laugh and they go, oh my God, that's happened to me too. I love this fist bump. That was awesome. Right. That's what we forget, is we're so busy worrying about what other people think of us that we can't even learn how to live comfortably in our own skins and our own bodies.
I think authenticity is like the glue, right? That keeps the whole human race together. You reminded me of something that I had actually long forgotten about. And it was, I had a client one time that was a famous actress. I'll leave the name out. And I had to meet her one day in the city, and we went and we had coffee. And then I went back to her apartment. I don't know what we were doing. I was gathering some documents or a gigantic file from her or something. And when I went to her apartment, she had a rabbit that crapped all over the place, like everywhere, rabbit poop. And I said to myself, oh, she's one of us. And from that
point, see that?
I was able to like relate to her a heck of a lot better and not feel inferior, I guess, for lack of a better word.
That's right. Imagine, like, you remember when Jennifer Lawrence fell on her face going to accept her Oscar?
Yep.
That was when her fame went to the absolute next level because of how she handled it. She laughed at herself. She was so accessible, and everybody looked at her and went, oh my God, she's just like me. She's just a regular human. And she literally went from, you know, celebrity to uber, you know, icon. Everything changed for her. And that if you look at fame, that consistently happens. When someone shows you who they really are and they're just themselves and a real person, all of a sudden we go, oh my God, I love them. Oh my God. Oh, and why do we love them? Because they're just like us. That's what we connect with. Not this shiny, glossy thing, right? And also, you have to remember that the reason that we believe that we have to be so shiny is because at our core, we believe that we're so messy, we're so flawed, we're so terrible, that God forbid people could see into the depths of our soul where all the garbage is floating around. And what I really want people to understand is that voice that's playing in your head that tells you that the stuff on the inside is not your good stuff, that voice is not your voice. It has been developed as a result of all of the crap that you have heard from external voices over your life. It is not your voice. And so people talk, and they say things and they're horrible and awful. And even if they, you know, are trying to be kind and nice, they still say the words, and those words take up root in our heads. And what I want people to remember is those voices are a result of those people's damage, those people's issues and fears and problems. They do not belong to you. And if you allow it to get into your psyche, it's the equivalent of going into the airport, walking over to the baggage carousel, picking up some random person's baggage, dragging it down the corridor, taking it home, unpacking it, grabbing out someone else's dirty underwear and wearing them on your head. We do not need to wear other people's baggage. We
or their underwear.
That is a exactly. Or their dirty underwear. It is a choice, and it's gross. Don't do it.
That's right. I'm not in college anymore.
But it's rampant, I think, especially with social media, how we compare ourselves because we're seeing things that are fake, filtered, not even real, and thinking that's what we need to aspire to be. So I think it's more challenging than ever. So you've already, so I was going to ask you a two-part question. Why is it that we deal with this? And you just answered that. And part two to that is, how do we begin having the courage to show up real and authentic? How do we start getting ourselves used to realizing what you're saying makes so much sense, but let's put it into practice in our lives and benefit from it? So how do we start doing that?
Well, one of the first things that I recommend people do is they create a resume of awesome. You know, this narrative that's playing in their head has been built up as a result of other people's voices. And it's all based on feelings, right? I feel, you know, unlovable. I feel like I'm not beautiful. I feel like I'm not successful. I feel. Forget the feelings. Let's go to the facts. As a lawyer, you understand, right? What I'm talking about, baby? As a fact, give me the fact. So I want everybody to write the resume of awesome. What is the truth about their life? You feel like you're unlovable? Wait a second. What are the facts to refute that? Well, actually, I've been in a relationship with my partner for 5 years now, or my sister loves me profoundly, or my nieces and nephews, or my best friend, or my dog, or I don't care what it is. I feel like I'm not successful. Yeah, but you know, strangely, I have managed to get promoted, you know, 3 times in the last 5 years, and maybe I'm not yet at the level I want to be, but I'm going in the right direction, and so on and so on. So break down all of those messages that your brain keeps feeding you, the bullcrap messages that you're getting fed, and go, wait a second, look for facts of your life to directly dispute those feelings. Because if you stay in the facts, you have proof that you are better than you imagine. And when those negative voices start creeping back, and you go, whoa, hang on, slow your roll, untrue, not a fact. Here is what's actually true about me. And when I get my clients to develop this resume of awesome, they start going, actually, check me out. I'm kind of a badass. This is pretty impressive. I'm like, yes, you are a badass. And it's just these voices that you have to learn to record over with a new narrative. And it takes time. But the secret is to continually interrupt them. You've got to show them that there is no place. It's like in The Wizard of Oz, you know, when Dorothy has dropped the house on the Wicked Witch of the East, and Glinda comes down in her bubble, and then the Wicked Witch of the West comes storming in and starts threatening Dorothy, and Glinda says, "Be gone. You have no power here. Be gone before someone drops the house on you too." That's what you need to start to say to those voices. You have no power here.
So it's kind of a two-part equation, I think, Leslie, from what you're saying. So part is the resume of awesome, like really reminding ourselves of the facts of the things that we do right in life. But then it's also giving ourselves permission to be real and imperfect and realize that that doesn't detract from our value. That actually adds to it, and to give ourselves permission to experience that, be that, allow that to be seen, right?
Absolutely, because the stuff that's real and raw about us, when we dig deep, we'll realize that's the stuff that contributes to our success. It's not the shiny stuff. The shiny stuff has no real power. It's artifice. It's like a plexiglass coating. You know, it's like a top coat for nail polish. It's not the color. It's just the glossy exterior.
Oh, what a great analogy. That's such a great analogy. It's just the top coat, not the color.
And so we want to step into the stuff that makes us different and unique, because by definition, when we differentiate, we stand out. That's what gets us noticed in this life. Not assimilation, not blending in. And you know, it's going to school that teaches us that. It's from the time that we're little. We are taught that it's school assimilation equals safety. And then we learn that, and then it happens in cliques, and then we go to work and all of that stuff. Assimilation, assimilation, assimilation. Assimilation is a lie. It's a lie. And that this concept of assimilation was developed when we had to be controlled, you know, and that when there was no division between church and state. And it was like, how do we control the masses? By telling them that assimilation is the secret to safety, to our survival in society. Mm-hmm. That is not the case anymore. Individuality is the thing that will allow us to experience our greatest success. And not individuality at the expense of the collective, but in support and celebration of the collective. Because if everybody accepts everybody else for their authentic truth, then imagine how beautifully we can coexist and what we can accomplish, because everybody's superpowers will be allowed to come into play.
You just took that to another level too. It's not only how we do that for ourselves, but how we give people around us permission to do that.
Oh yeah. A world where we all celebrate and accept the swagger in everybody else will be utopia, as far as I'm concerned.
Leslie, speaking of other people, there's some, I don't know, I may be asking a question that maybe you can't answer, but it is something that I come
up
on a lot. So let's say, you know, you're working on yourself and you're developing your own swagger and you totally get it and everything you say makes sense. And you happen upon another person or other people who are just totally wretched and obviously don't have swagger, don't know what it is, aren't working on themselves. And it makes your interaction, whether it's professional, personal, really difficult. Is there a way that somebody who understands swagger can deal with the people who don't? I'm not saying we can change those people, but is there a way to use our swagger? It like our superpower. Like when we need extra, like swagger, be mine. And or is that your next book?
I'm going to give you a magic phrase, okay? Ooh. And we're all going to repeat it. We're all going to repeat it together, okay? The magic phrase goes as follows. You do you, boo, and I'm going to do me. It's all love. Okay, everyone say it with me now. One, two, three. You do you, boo.
I forgot the rest.
I'm going to do me. It's all love.
It's all love.
Okay, so here's the thing, is that when we start stepping into our swagger, other people don't piss us off as much, because we're in such a place of deep contentment and deep, like, internal validation that other people's opinions of us cease to matter. Like, not completely, but way, way, way less. So when the haters come, or the swaggerless, the sad, swaggerless masses come, we kind of just look at them with compassion and go, that's not fun to feel like that. You know, I know what that feels like, to be so defensive, or to be so afraid, or to feel like I have to take down, you know, someone else in order to make myself feel bigger. I know what the pain is of that. I don't feel like that anymore, but I remember when I did. And so I have massive compassion for those people. And those people are not used to compassion. Think about it like a dog that's constantly getting beat up.
Wow.
They're going to want to bite. But if you turn around to them and you say, how can I help you? I want to help you. Yeah. You know, or you recognize or you acknowledge that something's hard for them, or you don't, you know, you don't attack them in front of other people, and you circle back and you say, you know, and like, if someone's taking credit for your work, the instinct is to go, hey, you know, what's going on? That's my work and whatever. Swagger. You let it go in the moment. Then you circle back to them and you say, hey, so you and I both know that we worked on that together. And I want to understand, like, do you feel like you didn't do enough, or you're not getting enough credit for it? How can I help you with that? Because I want you to feel good about what we accomplished as a team. Right? I don't have to be running around going, look at me, look at me, look at me, because I'm good, man. I'm good. And what you'll find is that people slowly stop seeing you as the enemy. They start seeing you as someone who is really on their team, and they drop their fists a little bit. And listen, it's not the case for everybody. Some people are just, you know what I'm talking about. They're just the a-holes of the world, and they don't do what they do. And that's when you go, hey, you do you, boo. It's all good. It's all love. And you walk away. You don't have to have your fists up. You don't have to fight with them. And you certainly don't have to prove that you're better, smarter, faster, wiser than they are. You just let it go. Just let it go.
At the root of this, Leslie, is compassion. Mm-hmm. For ourselves, 100%. Right? For us,
You got it.
And then showing that outward and just the ripple effect of that.
100%. 100%. It is about self-love, self-acceptance, internal validation, internal appreciation. And from that place, all good things stem. You cannot walk around life feeling crappy when you love all the parts of yourself. All the messy bits, all the beautiful bits, all the jiggly bits, all of the, you know, the harder to love bits, all of the everything. I mean, I walk around feeling my bad self 24/7. And it's because I know who I am. I understand the purity of my intention in this world, that my entire existence is focused on helping to unleash the potential in human being. And I feel so good about that. I can't experience negativity. It has no place in my world. Like, there's a giant delete button that I use on the haters. I just go delete. By the way, you have the power to do that, social media players. It's called a finger. There's a button called delete. And if someone says something in your world that you don't dig, you do not let it hang there like toxic waste. You delete that crap. Bye bye. See ya. Blockage. Bye bye, haters. So you're not necessarily
Leslie,
to go, oh my
I
God,
need to tell you something. Mean? We've been doing this show for 12, are we going on 13 years? Almost 13 years. We have talked to hundreds of billion people. And there are times when the message is coming across, you can hear it from people and it makes sense, but it doesn't feel it. I so feel you. I really do. It's not just delivering information on a logical level. You mean it. You embody it. And so I have a follow-up question to that comment. Can you please create a swagger app that I can tap into and have you on demand? Okay?
So I'm just going to sit like Yoda, like on a pillow and wait for messages to come in live. And then I can just say,
I don't know.
It's all good, baby.
Build it.
It's all love.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we need to create a Leslie M magic 8-ball. You know, so all I have to do is ask it a question.
What would Leslie do?
Yes, exactly. Hey, what's Leslie going to do in this particular situation? I need some help. And then you shake the ball up and up pops a triangle that says, tell him to screw off. And boom, you're all set.
It's
all love.
We need to introduce you, Leslie, to Jen Sincero, if you haven't already met her, because she used to have...
I was just thinking about that. Yep.
And she wrote the Badass series of books, and when you press the CD button, it would have a quote from one of her books. That would be perfect.
And it was her voice. Yeah, I would buy that. Your voice.
No, please introduce me to Jen Sincero, because she and I are so on the same wavelength, the same vibe.
100%.
And it's so funny, because when I was reading, I hadn't read her book. And when I was writing my book, I said to my husband, I cannot read her book because I don't want anything that she said to be in my head, because I bet we're saying a lot of the same things. And I want to have my head pure. He was like, okay, got it. I said, but could you read her book, please? And tell me. And so he read her book and he said, the book is awesome, but the message is positioned completely differently than yours. I was like, cool. And then after I wrote the book, I read her book and I was like, oh my God, I love her. She's amazing. You know, she's amazing.
Yeah. And she's everything you talk about. She's got the swagger like you. She's real. She's funny. She's smart. Like all of that. Leslie, I can't wait to have you back on again. Every time I talk to you again, I'm like, why did we wait so long between having her here? We're wrapping up.
We could
do
a regular, a weekly swagger session. People could call in with their problems and we could coach them. Oh. We could give them the swagger live. Just ask me. I am at your service. We would have so much
fun. I would love. I could ever. You were wrapping up her here with Leslie M, spelled E-H-M. She is, as you have been listening, some brilliant, funny, real, helpful, really cares about making a difference in the lives of other people. She is the author of the best-selling book, Swagger, Unleash Everything You Are and Become Everything You Want. Leslie, how can people get more of you, buy your book, hire you? How can we do that?
You can find the book at all good bookstores. You can get it on Amazon. If you want my voice in your head, the audiobook is my voice reading it, which is creepy for some, delightful for others. And you can learn all about what I do out in the world by visiting lesliem.com. That's LeslieEHM.com.
Leslie, thank you so much for all the love and energy you bring and for taking the time to talk with us and our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime, anywhere, just say the word.
Thank you. Right there, Leslie. Thank you very much again for coming back and joining us here on Happy Hour. Now you go back to your pontoon boat and forget about us for a while, okay? We've got more to come with Happy Hour still. Segment 3 is on the way, so please stick around.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's happy hour with Jenna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time. It's happy hour. Here it is, Jenna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
So it was fantastic to talk to Leslie M again. She's so much fun. She really is.
I love her. She always brings such good energy. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's not always the message. It's how it's delivered. Right. Because we've talked with her before. We've talked about the basis of her book, how she defines swagger, which is not how most of us think. It's really not about that fake confident air. Swagger is really about being real, being you. And boy, in today's day and age, I think we can always use that reminder.
I should have reread the book before I contacted my parking people. That's all I got. Right? I didn't have swagger. I had swigger. I needed to drink after that. She is good, though. I just love her energy. So upbeat. And you're right. You hit it on the head before we spoke to her that she just genuinely, with a capital G, wants to impart this and help people. Like, it's in her. I love that about her.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that she's not – she walks the walk. She lives what she believes in. Maybe you could have her come and speak to John Spillmore Law. I mean, she's done TD Bank, Google, Volkswagen, Jack Daniels. Why not John Spillmore Law?
My kind of company. Sidebar, it's so weird that you just said that, because I've had more than one person in my office ask if you would come back and speak to John. Remember when you did that? People are like, can we have Carol come back? We need like another refresher. And I'm like, Carol is too busy for you people. And she's not going to do it. So sorry. And I didn't even think that that's a nice idea to see if Leslie would speak. We could probably do it Zoom, but people, just so you know.
Oh, girl, that's true, too. Yeah. Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, they miss you.
And I love your staff, but I think I love my dog and my leggings and my hair up on top of my head a little bit better.
You think?
Well, you know, Carol, just because you do live in the same area does not mean that you have to do it live. You could also do a Zoom call.
I know, but then I'll have to actually put makeup on.
She would have hair. To dress up from the neck up, you know, and I don't blame you for not wanting to do that. But it's just nice to know, and I'm glad the weird reminder that I just had, I meant to tell you this like a few weeks ago.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel good.
Your message stuck with people because that's been a few years since you.
It sure has, yeah.
And it stuck with them. And that's nice to know.
It is.
That is very nice to know. And that's definitely a feather in your cap there, Miss Pesky.
I'll be walking around with swagger for the rest of the day now.
There you go, girlfriend. Nicely done. All right. So listen, thank you very much again to Leslie M for coming back. And you never know. She just may grace the Zoom. What's the world? The Zoom world of Jonas Spillmore's law office sometime soon. You never know. Or Carol Pesky might. Anyway, thanks.
I have a new name for it, Frankenberry.
We're going to
call it the Zoomosphere.
Oh, I like it.
All right. Yes. The Spillmore Law Zoomosphere might just have a new guest speaker if Jonna can convince her of such. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, listen, everyone, thank you again for joining us this morning with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. As I said a couple of times today, just for the reminder, I am a Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week where we do this every week. So please enjoy your week. Have a safe one. And we'll talk to you next Sunday. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.